Author of The Christian and Civil Government, Pastor Weaver's preaching style is in the tradition of those early colonial pastors whose pulpits were the cradle of America's liberty. Thomas McConnell is a noted speaker on biblical covenantalism and economics. John Quaid, he has taken his passion for God's law into practical application for everyday life, and others. Children are welcome. There is plenty of RV parking and tent camping. For more information, and if you would like to receive a brochure, call Pastor Warren Mark Campbell at 559-561-0802 or visit the FirstAmendmentRadio.com homepage for more information. Thank you.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget!
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Tuesday, and it is the 20th of September in the year 2005. I regretted last night that I wasn't able to finish up with that report, and I didn't get a new update today. From Mississippi. Yesterday, last evening, of course, I was reading to you reports. They called it Ground Zero reports from Mississippi, and it was quite shocking to... But you see, this is how it was after the hurricanes, during and after the hurricanes in Florida last year. People who lived there were writing their own reports, and there were enough of them coming in from various sources that you knew that there was truth in them. There's no way that we can verify this information unless we go there ourselves, and I chose to share the information with you because for me it was, so much attention was given to New Orleans and what was going on there, and then we find out that Mississippi evidently took the biggest hit from the storm Katrina, and it looks like it was a Category 5. I don't know if they go beyond that, but according to the report here, there's evidence of a 35-foot tsunami-type wave that came in into Mississippi, and I'm going to finish up that report. I've got a little bit more here tonight on some other, but we're still talking. We're in the same book. We're just on a different. We're going to be on a different page. Let's put it that way. I wanted to clear up any misunderstandings. Last night when I was reading the poem at the beginning of the broadcast, if I knew, and I mentioned Chuck's passing and how sudden it was, how unexpected, and excuse me, how shocking, of course. And I got a call from a brand new listener who expressed their sympathy and thought that it had happened this past Saturday. And of course, I talked to you with folks like, oh, you've all been listening forever. It was February 15th in 2003 when Chuck passed over. I would like to read the same poem again tonight, just as a reminder to all of us. This is titled, If I Knew. If I knew it would be the last time that I'd see you fall asleep, I'd tuck you in more tightly and pray the Lord your soul to keep. Maybe as I'm reading this, there'll be certain loved ones or friends that come to your mind. If I knew it would be the last time that I see you walk out the door, I'd give you a hug and kiss and call you back for one more. If I knew it would be the last time I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, I'd videotape each action and word so I could play them back day by day. If I knew it would be the last time I could spare an extra minute to stop and say I love you instead of assuming you would know I do. If I knew it would be the last time I would be there to share your day, well, I'm sure you'll have so many more, so I can just let this one slip away. For surely, there's always tomorrow to make up for an oversight, and we always get a second chance to make everything just right. There'll always be another day to say I love you, and certainly there's another chance to say anything I can do. But just in case I might be wrong and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you, and I hope we never forget. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone young or old alike, and today may be the last chance you get to hold your loved one tight. So if you're waiting for tomorrow, why not do it today? For if tomorrow never comes, you'll surely regret the day. The day that you didn't take that extra time for a smile, a hug, or a kiss, and you were too busy to grant someone what turned out to be their one last wish. So hold your loved ones closely today and whisper in their ear. Tell them how much you love them and that you'll always hold them dear. Take time to say I'm sorry or please forgive me or thank you or it's okay. And if tomorrow never comes, you have no regrets about today. I'm going to give you the call-in number in case you'd like to call in tonight, folks, 570-537-3025, and you should write it down. But I do want you to know that this is the call-in number for the broadcast for our new listeners. If you dial this number during the day, chances are I won't get to the phone in time, so if you want to make a note of my home phone number, if you would like to call me, it is 570-537-3035. The call-in number is 3025, and the regular home phone is 3035. And maybe you should make a note after that so you don't try to call in this number, 3035, while I'm on the air. Where I was at the end of that report last night, we were on the 17th. They were talking about what was like in Diverville, St. Martin, Mississippi, and all the bodies that were floating around, and people were told not to touch or move the bodies because if they did poke them, the corpses will burst. And we were down at the bottom of the page, and I'm going to read one paragraph over again. He said residences in this neighborhood. I'm going to read the one before it, too. We toured through Diverville's waterfront district, just east of the I-110 bridge, a neighborhood we knew well. There we looked for our friend, Dodie Fournier's seafood processing factory and his house, but found nothing, not even a slab. In this region, it appeared that a 30-foot-plus surge wave came in, based upon our assessment of the huge metal and CBS seafood refrigeration and processing plants that used to dominate this area. All of these massive commercial structures were totally gone or gutted, slashed, shredded. Folks, this was no Category 4 storm. Residences in this neighborhood, if the structures were still there, showed evidence of having been swept off their foundations and moved. In some cases, a few inches, and in other cases, a few blocks. What was astounding to us was that in the same residential block, regarding similarly styled homes, some were blown down, some were twisted and ripped, and others appeared to be in good shape, yet they were hundreds of feet from their original locations. The great majority of houses clearly showed that a monstrous wave of water came in through the front and exited through the back in one fell swoop. These were not rising floodwaters, mind you. This was a flippin', 30-foot-plus wall of water that simply blasted its way through anything and everything. Folks, these were the homes of the working people of Mississippi. These weren't government homes. These weren't projects, nor were they commercial infrastructures. These were the homes of real working Americans. Of interest to many, we were able to briefly interview a well-respected doctor who decided to weather Katrina in his brand new waterfront home, which had been built to all of the latest and greatest hurricane building codes. To put it simply, the hurricane in the hurricane came in the front and washed him out the back. So much for your codes. The doctor and his retriever somehow managed to swim out and survive. Most people aren't aware that Katrina raged in Biloxi for about 24 hours. Now that's a heap of dog paddling, don't you know? Our doctor contact did express concern, if not fury, over Biloxi, Gulfport, black provocateurs, namely, listen to this, a radio talk show host, celebrity, whipping up Gulf Coast black residents, agitating them into a revolt because the federal government was not doing enough for them. Beyond this, all we can remember this morning is the stink. Stay tuned. Next week, we venture directly into the center of Biloxi's Ground Zero, if we can make it through the military checkpoints. And that's all I have on that, folks. But I found this. I get so much email. And listen, if you send me a personal email and you don't get a response, would you remail it? Because sometimes there's a couple hundred that come in a day, and I do try to pick out the personal ones, because a lot of what I get, the majority of what I get, for the most part, they're information emails, and I would say of the majority of those, they are disinformation, I have to say. You have to be careful on the internet, because you can read an item, and it can be really well written, and it can have all kinds of relevant information in it, and then there's the hook. And if you are informed and you are watchful, you will see those hooks, and those hooks for the most part aren't because whoever has written it is ignorant. I'm convinced of that, because there are certain lies that have to be told, and they have to be told and told and told, and there's a lot of truth that can be told around them, as long as a particular lie that's important to the controllers is continued. Just bear that in mind, and so be careful on the internet. And if Julia and Sid are listening tonight, you know, I read a piece from somebody allegedly in Baton Rouge, and I was thinking of printing it out, but then I got to thinking that I don't really know if this person was saying that in Baton Rouge, and Julia and Sid did tell us that from a population of about 50,000, it had swollen to twice its size. Was it 50,000 or whatever? 500,000, I think. It's swollen to about 1 million people. And according to this person that wrote the report, there are black gangs walking down the middle of the streets in all white areas. They're not black people who live in those areas. And they are evidently, at least this individual who wrote it, believed that they were from New Orleans. But he said that the grocery stores are running out of food, and people are fighting over food, and cars are being hijacked. People are being stopped in their cars by these gangs, that the police are not able to patrol and actually evidently be there when help is needed. And I was going to email it over to Julia and Sid to see if they concurred with that. And doggone it, you guys, the email that you sent me, it's either so far in my mess. I know I didn't delete it. I couldn't find your email address to send it over. I'd like to send that report over and see if you concur with it. In other words, the chaos that is being created here, folks, it just goes on and on and on. And as Alan said, you know, we can go on forever talking about details, but what is important is to see what they're accomplishing with this. I've got a piece here. Huh. I don't know. Maybe you knew this. Maybe it's been reported on the news. I don't know. I'm going to read you the preface of this, and then I'll read you what the main thing is here. It says very few of the people had flood insurance, so they will not recover, and the properties will also be seized for mortgages and back taxes. With the new eminent domain law passed by the bought and paid for U.S. Supremes, anything could happen, even if the real estate is paid in full. That's true, too. Didn't the GOP and globalist multinationals just think of everything down to the last detail? Number one, people will be unable to go back into their collapsed houses for the deeds to their homes. Number two, they're going to get a ton of valuable property worth billions. Plus, no, New Orleans sits on a sea of oil. Remember, not just sitting on a sea of oil, but the report that I was sent, and it was from some geological report, a scientific geological report, that offshore there, basically that there is evidence that there's just a glut of oil right there in the Gulf. And they said that the area is equivalent to the land area, the area of the Black Sea. That's how huge that it appears that this oil is. So we certainly know that, and I'm wondering, you know, about Mississippi. I've got more information on Mississippi now. My thought is, I don't know that this is so, it's just a thought, but that the storm, the brunt of the storm was meant for New Orleans, and it hit, the brunt of the storm hit Mississippi. Maybe it was meant to do that, I don't know. But there surely was a lot of damage in Mississippi that we're not hearing about. All the things, they said that the multinationalists just think of everything, that the people will be unable to go back and get their home, their deeds. And, of course, the New Orleans sits on a sea of oil, and three, even up to the gators eating the people, so there be no identifiable bodies for family members to file claims. Think about that, folks. Insurance on these people, life insurance. And evidently, if you can't produce body, I don't know, but isn't that going to be another mess? Yeah, they thought of everything. That's what I said. They killed so many birds with one stone, and no pun is intended there. It says here Bush was going to ask a talk about Reconstruction tonight. This was mailed on the 15th. Of course, they're going to use Halliburton and all of their subsidiaries. Joe Albaugh was also Bush's chief of staff while governor of Texas, and registered as a lobbyist on behalf of Kellogg, Brown, and Root, along with his wife Diane, a role in which he lobbies FEMA and other agencies on behalf of KBR and its parent company, Halliburton. Albaugh was also a personal friend of Michael Brown. Remember, he was the head of FEMA there in New Orleans and in Louisiana, I guess, and heavy contributor to the Bush campaign since 2000. What we have here is an operation involving, through Shaw Group, Halliburton, KBR, Joe Albaugh, A-L-L-B-A-U-G-H, and Michael Brown. These people are in a position to financially benefit in billions of dollars in reconstruction contracts should a hurricane hit New Orleans. And just by coincidence, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans at 100 miles of winds, but didn't do enough property damage or kill anyone. So they flooded New Orleans, and levees were sabotaged, according to eyewitnesses, who have been sent off to internment camps behind a barbed wire. In another case, the floodgates were opened. Nagin is denying this and doing damage control because if the people found out, they would hang Bush on the White House lawn. Somebody should sue Bush personally for negligent homicide. That's a little weak, isn't it? It's another fixed game, just like the insurance fraud on 911, which was multitasked and served many purposes. 911 was an inside job and the excuse to wage war on the world, destroy our economy and the Constitution using tyrannical laws. In the USAPA, to set us up for martial law. It's the same thing Bush's nemesis Hitler did, turning Germany into a fascist dictatorship. People just can't wrap their brain around it. Bush must go. Well, I don't know who wrote that, but after a while we realized that even making statements like that is just, it's useless, isn't it, folks? Bush must go. God. Bush never even got elected. In either election, he wasn't elected, but he's president. They made him president. Listen to this. Statement on federal assistance for New Hampshire. This is from the White House Gov News releases, Office of the Press Secretary, September 19th. That was yesterday. The president today declared an emergency exists in the state of New Hampshire. A state of emergency was declared by the president in New Hampshire and ordered federal aid to supplement state and local response efforts to assist evacuees from the area struck by Hurricane Katrina and to provide emergency assistance to those areas beginning August 29, 2005 and continuing. The president's action makes federal funding available to the state and all 10 counties of the state of New Hampshire. Specifically, assistance is available to state and eligible local governments for emergency protective measures. See, when the government pays, the government controls, doesn't it, folks? That are undertaken to save lives and protect public health, right? This is a press release from the White House. Emergency protective measures, including direct federal assistance, will be provided at 100% federal funding. So what they did... let me read this last. These are some names. Representing FEMA, R. David Paulison, Acting Undersecretary for Emergency Preparedness and Response, Department of Homeland Security, named Kenneth L. Horak as the Federal Coordinating Officer for Federal Recovery Operations. Now, I also heard that a state of emergency was declared in South Carolina because there are evacuees there, too. Refugees, and maybe what's happening is every state where they're bringing them, they're declaring a state of emergency, folks. And in their legal twisted minds, when a state of emergency exists, emergency powers, governor's emergency powers acts, and the Federal Emergency Power Act. Here's another one. Listen to this. This is short. This is from Consumer Affairs, September 15th. No bankruptcy relief for Katrina victims. Representative Sensenbrenner, who voted against hurricane relief, refuses to hold hearings. Survivors of Hurricane Katrina, who were hoping to avoid the wait of the new bankruptcy law, may be out of luck. Representative F. James Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, has indicated he will not hold a hearing on waiving the law for purposes of disaster relief. And Sensenbrenner was one of 11 Republicans who voted against the massive relief package for Katrina victims. A voted against. Doesn't matter. They're not getting the money anyway, probably. There's one that I pulled up last night that I wanted to share with you. This is a doctor. This is an interview from the Advocate, the newspaper evidently, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Doctor says FEMA ordered him to stop treating hurricane victims. In the midst of administering chest compressions to a dying woman several days after Hurricane Katrina struck, Dr. Mark Perlmutter was ordered to stop by a federal official because he wasn't registered with FEMA. The doctor said, "I begged him to let me continue." And Perlmutter, who left his home and practice as an orthopedic surgeon in Pennsylvania to come to Louisiana and volunteer to care for hurricane victims, he said, quote, "People were dying. I was the only doctor on the tarmac at the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport, where scores of non-responsive patients lay on stretchers. Two patients died in front of me. I showed him," and then in parentheses, the U.S. Coast Guard official in charge, "I showed him my medical credentials. I had tried to get through to FEMA for 12 hours the day before and finally gave up. I asked him to let me stay till I was replaced by another doctor, but he refused. He said he was afraid of being sued. I informed him about the Good Samaritan laws and asked him if he was willing to let people die so the government wouldn't be sued, but he wouldn't back down. I had to leave." FEMA issued a formal response to Perlmutter's story, acknowledging that the agency does not use voluntary physicians. And this is a quote by FEMA spokesman Kim Pease, said, "We have a cadre of physicians of our own. They are the National Disaster Medical Team. The voluntary doctor was not a credentialed FEMA physician and thus was subject to law enforcement rules in a disaster area." The insanity gets more insane, doesn't it, folks? A Coast Guard spokesman said he was looking into the incident but wasn't able to confirm it. Perlmutter, Dr. Clark Gerhardt, and medical student Allison Terenz flew into Baton Rouge on a private jet loaned by a Pennsylvania businessman several days after Katrina hit. They brought medicine and supplies with them. They stayed the first night in Baton Rouge and persuaded an Army Black Hawk helicopter pilot to fly them into New Orleans the next day. The orthopedic surgeon said, "I was going to make it happen. I was at Ground Zero, too, and I had to lie to get in there." At the triage area in New Orleans Airport, Perlmutter was successful in getting FEMA to accept the insulin and morphine he had brought. "The pharmacist told us they were completely out of insulin and our donation would save numerous lives. Still, I felt we were the most valuable resource and we were sent away." Gerhardt said the scene they confronted at the airport was one of hundreds of people lying on the ground, many soaked in their own urine and feces, some coding, dying before our eyes. Gerhardt said the scene they FEMA workers initially seemed glad for help and asked Gerhardt to work inside the terminal and Perlmutter to work out on the tarmac. They were told only a single obstetrician had been on call at the site for the past 24 hours. So where was the team of doctors, huh? The FEMA doctors? And then the Coast Guard official informed the group that he could not credential them or guarantee tort coverage and that they should return to Baton Rouge. "That shocked me, that those would be his concerns in a time of emergency," Gerhardt said. Transported back to Baton Rouge, Perlmutter's frustrated group went to state health officials who finally got them certified, a simple process that took only a few seconds. "I found numerous other doctors in Baton Rouge waiting to be assigned and others who were sent away, and there was no shortage of need," he said. Perlmutter spent some time at the Department of Health and Hospitals Operational Center at Jimmy Swaggart Ministries before moving to the makeshift Kmart Hospital. All right, well, I'm going to stop there, folks. We're coming up on our half-hour break. The phone number, if you'd like to call in tonight, and I would welcome your calls, 570-537-3025. and I'm going to run and fill my water up, and I will be back right after this break. If I'm not back, just stay with me. I'll be right back.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Okay. All right, we're back and we have a caller on the line. Noel, from New Orleans. Noel means New Orleans. Did you turn your radio down, Noel? Hello?
Yeah, hey, Jackie. How you doing?
Yeah, fine, honey.
Well, you know, my niece is over here visiting. We located on 61 between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and she's from Violet. I was trying to get her to get on the telephone to tell you, let her tell us the story of some of the stuff that went down. What she was talking to me about tonight was the number of bodies they found and the number of people who died, that the numbers don't match up, that it's, you know, it's going to go well into the bowels. It's not just in the...
Well, exactly what they did after Hurricane Andrew, and all the hurricanes that hit Florida last year, honey. Yes.
Yeah. Can she say a few words?
Yeah, yes, she can. What's her name?
I don't think she wants to get on the phone. Here she is.
Hello.
Yeah, look, she's shy. She don't want to get on. I'm sorry to do that.
No, that's okay.
You know, over the last 2 or 3 days, the helicopter traffic died down. You know, I work not too far from my house, but Freightline, and you could hear, you know, you would hear 13, maybe 30 helicopters a day coming over, and that's starting to die down.
Uh-huh.
Now we got this new threat going on, Rita, you know, and...
Yeah, what about that? I don't have any information on Rita.
Well, Rita's getting ready to cross the southern coast of Florida and go into the Gulf. He's talking about being a Category 4, and everybody's evacuating now. And,
my.
Parish President Aaron Broussard is getting everybody out of the parish again, and New Orleans, the mayor, he wants everybody out, so everybody's in just pandemonium down here because of this new hurricane.
Jesus.
But really nervous and anxious about it.
I guess so.
But anyway.
Gun shy, I guess so.
Well, I'll just tie up your time. I just wanted to, my niece was over here, and I was hoping she'd say a few words.
Okay.
Because he had a good, you know, the story I told you about a week ago? How long ago I was
Yeah, the situation with your nephew, was it?
Yeah, well, it was her husband, and she's really my niece. But,
okay.
You know, and nephew-in-law, I would say.
Okay.
And I was, she was being pelted by hail and a boat in 135-mile-an-hour winds, and she thought he drowned and all that. But anyway. But, you know, there's a lot of stories out there, and it just makes me pretty angry because the media didn't cover it right.
Well,
and,
honey,
I don't know why.
Well, they can't cover every story, of course. That's not the point. The overall know what's happening, but one of the reasons that I wanted to pinpoint some of these things is because it's so easy for us to be desensitized. It's not happening to us, so somewhere in the recesses of our mind it isn't happening. It is happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we talk about things always in a generic fashion, that's how it's taken in, is in a generic fashion. And I think it is important for some of these facts to be known so that people can really get a close-up look at
right.
what the hell is going on and then maybe see the overall picture bigger.
For me, being from the old school, I'm pretty much fundamental. And the way the government has control over everything really bothers me. And it's also, I mean, like you had people going back down to St. Bernard Parish and down into Plaquemines Parish and Bollett, this little town where my niece is from. And they canceled that because of this new hurricane. So these people haven't seen their houses from the last hurricane. Mold's growing in their houses. They can't get their belongings, and they're being told to they want them to keep them out.
Yeah, well, think about this, too. The deeds to their homes, where would those be?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Where do you think the deeds to their homes would be? For the most part, people probably don't get bank deposit boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
And
they're keeping them away from the deeds. So.
That's right. They've covered a lot of bases with this, Noel, and it continues to expand. It's like calling a state of emergency, declaring a state of emergency in New Hampshire, because there are evacuees there. And I also understand they did it in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So we could assume that this will probably be happening in every state where they're bringing bringing some people in.
Let me ask you this: maybe you can investigate this. They have, I don't know how many. I don't know if it's close to $1 billion they raised for victims. You know, in different private. Who was on the one the other night? Ellen DeGeneres was on the other night. And they were raising money for the hurricane victims. Well, how's that money going to funnel down into the end?
They're probably giving it to the Red Cross, and it probably goes into the war fund.
Well, that doesn't help. Like my niece, she's young and she's married, and they had a small house trailer, and they were just making ends meet, and they didn't even have flood insurance, and she's one of the people who needs it. And, it just bothers me that,
Well,
she has absolutely nothing.
The report that I was reading from last night in Mississippi, because I was told by FEMA when I called by the lady there that it was the law and that if I didn't buy flood insurance, my mortgage company holder would buy it and it would cost me three times as much money. And then, of course, when I asked, well, what if you don't have a mortgage on your home? There was a pregnant pause, and she said, well, you'd be a fool not to have flood insurance because we're having flooding today in places that haven't flooded since Noah's Ark. And I didn't have my tape recorder going, so I called back to have her say it again so I could have that on tape because it was so unbelievable. But according to the report that Keith had sent out in an email he sent me, the mortgage holders there in the Gulf port cities, Biloxi, Gulfport, I don't know how many of them, they didn't make it mandatory. They told the people that it wasn't really necessary to have flood insurance because it was unlikely that there would be flooding. So these people are all not covered. They still have mortgage payments. They have no homes. And as Keith said, their property will go for a pittance.
I heard the Gulf Coast is completely wiped out. It's barren. And they, I have a friend who works up at the drugstore, and she was telling me her son, his apartment complex, he's in the service, is completely gone. He's now staying with her, you know. And it's just a shame that, you know, last night I was listening to you read a letter about the man from Mississippi. And what
That's
went.
What I was just talking about, Noel.
Huh?
That's what I was just talking about.
And it was so neat just to hear that letter, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that part. I was trying to get my niece on the radio.
Okay, well, listen, let me let you go, honey, in case somebody else would like to call in.
Good, nice talk.
Thanks for touching base. Bye-bye. All right, folks, the call-in number is 570-537-3025 if you want to call in. And I want to say, take a moment here to thank those of you who are coming forth with sponsor donations, because, well, I tell you, it's really gotten bad, and it's a relief when I see that our donations are picking up and we have new sponsors coming in. And folks, I'm telling you, we're over $10,000 in the hole. The debt is ultimately mine, and so in order to keep the broadcast going, those of you who do appreciate it, it would be good to step forward and become a participating listener sponsor of this broadcast. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I brought to my attention that...
Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, hi.
I was brought to my attention that FEMA now, I guess they supply their own toilet paper and paper towels and toothpaste and soap and shampoo and all kinds of cosmetics, because they won't accept them from outsiders. They want cash only.
Well, where did you get this information, Jeff?
There's a right in our neighborhood down here. There's a people own one of them Dollar General stores.
Uh-huh.
They put together a big care package, and they were told that they didn't even want it. They said, all we want is cash. So... makes you wonder.
FEMA told them that?
Yeah.
That all they want is cash?
They said they're only accepting cash donations. They don't want any other care packages of any kind.
Oh, man. You know, we ought to have FEMA number to make some calls.
I think people, maybe local government, I don't know if it's even possible with a disaster of that magnitude, but maybe local government ought to get itself organized for disasters. And then when FEMA or the Red Cross or someone like that comes around to help, if you want to help, you help under our jurisdiction. Otherwise, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, well, see, I don't know if this is true, but I have read that the reason that they were standing down in New Orleans was that they were trying to get the mayor, or the governor, excuse me, to... declare an emergency so that the federal government could take over totally, and that she was balking, although that's highly unlikely. Maybe it was just another of the finger pointing. I don't know.
I mean, if that's the way they're going to handle the situation, who needs the
It's by Jeff. It is all by design. You know that. It was a perfect this situation. Was a perfectly planned, well-coordinated planned, and it was not a failure. It came off perfectly according to their plan, and you know that. And so we can sit and say, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? That is a question that it is even senseless to ask, because we know why they don't. We know what FEMA is for. We know what Homeland Security is for, and it is to control the masses. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. That's why what happened, happened.
Yeah, I guess it makes local government look kind of powerless.
Well, that's part of the plan, isn't it?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Well,
I've got a few emails here, and there's FEMA number on them, and I feel like calling it and finding out if there's a way that we can send, supplies. And see what kind of an answer I get.
Yeah, I imagine maybe there are some people that work within those organizations that have compassion. I don't know. But they hire out of the local newspapers, because the company that hires people for federal emergency management, Brinkerhoff, something Brinkerhoff, because I had called that ad once several years ago just out of curiosity. And they were hiring people to go into disaster areas and to help clean up and help, you know, help in disaster areas. But what happened was, and they called, they kept calling me for months and months and months, wanting to know if I was interested. But the way this thing works is they want you to foot all expenses, and then they'll pay you, you know, like when the whole disaster's over and cleaned up and you come back home, and you submit your bill to them for everything you expended. And I just said, if I could afford to do that, I wouldn't need the job. So that was the end of that.
Yeah, a lot of red tape. Okay, anything else, Jeff?
Nah, that's about it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, good night.
Bye. 570-537-3025 if you'd like to call in, folks. I had an article here, but I'm not going to do it. It says Katrina threatens to swamp Utah, and this was written on the 9th of September. Only there's a lot in here. Evidently, it's a Reuters reporter. They're quoting Reuters. I don't know, so I'm not going to do this one. Why don't I hear from you? Somebody give us a call, 570-537-3025. If Sid and Julia are listening, I'd like to hear from you all. I'd like to, if there's truth to this report that I read about what's happening in Baton Rouge, folks, it's evidence of the way this thing, it's like an infection, isn't it? Maybe this is the plague that they've been talking about and the chaos that is being created today. Surely somebody out there has some comments, some information you'd like to report, some questions. 570-537-3025. Why don't you give me a call? And you know what? I've done this before. And then sometimes when people aren't calling, I get calls after the broadcast. And people tell me that they tried to call in and they kept getting a busy signal when there was nobody on the line. I'm going to change the subject on us here then, unless somebody wants to call in. I've had this laying here, and I wanted to share it with you because, well, actually it was when I was told we were talking about aspartame and monosodium glutamate, Splenda. Splenda evidently is very dangerous, and I understand that Splenda is sold in bags just like sugar bags, right alongside of the sugar in the grocery stores. This is an article about canola oil. And, you know, when you take a look at all of the processed foods, you see that canola oil is used heavily. Hi, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Excuse me. I was wondering, maybe you could talk more about this.
Alan, you've got to talk up, honey.
I was just wondering, maybe you could speak a little bit more about that strange weapon that you were talking about the other night. The one that bats you, then everything you completely dead, the bacteria and everything, and you wouldn't rot.
Oh, that's I posted that thing on our website, Alan, back in February of 2003. It isn't a new article at all.
Oh.
And I really, that is what really grabbed me more than anything, was the fact that they called it Dial a Hurt, the weapon that was going to shock and awe the world.
Yeah, well, that was funny. I was talking about mass reduction of the population. I was wondering why don't they use that? Would it be a silent weapon? No,
sure
nothing.
Sure would, wouldn't it?
If they want to illuminate the population, why don't they go here and there and just zap people and that's the end of it?
I think that what they have to do, or what they're little warped in their little warped heads, you know, that I would say the majority of people believe that Katrina was a terrible disaster. There are many people who believe it was God's wrath coming into New Orleans because they were going to have their Southern Decadence parade, you know, the homosexual thing. And so therefore, if they can get, you see, you read the book, 1984, and you see how they got the people so totally controlled, and this somehow is necessary for them to convince themselves, if you would, that they are in fact gods in this world.
In 1984, there was an enormous amount of terror, and everybody was like under a microscope. Everybody was just, you know, minutely scrutinized.
That's right.
And stepping out of line meant, you know, a really terrible existence. You were sent to room 101.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was asking Alan about this. The one thing that I couldn't figure out is when, you know, they were torturing Winston Smith, you know, wanting him to see how many fingers am I holding up, and I don't recall the number, but they're holding up four, and they want him to say three or whatever. And he finally said, okay, I see four. And they said, no, that's not good enough, Winston. You have to believe it. And finally, they tortured and tortured and tortured, and he was out of it. And suddenly he said, I do. I see four fingers. And he loved Big Brother. Well, then they killed him.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you remember what the last line of that book was? It said, in the end, he loved Big Brother.
Yeah. But I asked Alan, I said, I don't understand why they went through all that trouble, you know, to torture him and everything, and then go ahead and kill him. He said, because they have to come wittingly. We have to come willingly. Even though it takes torture, we have to finally succumb ourselves to the system. And the way Alan put it when he was explaining it to me, he said, if there's even one holdout, they have failed.
Huh. You feel like we're all a bunch of lab rats?
Well, we are. Think about it. You know, according to the Biodiversity Treaty, the human being is no more important than any other, the lowest amoeba. We are literally called organisms to them.
Well,
organisms.
Who are they? I mean, wouldn't they be just as useless tutors as anybody else?
No. Because they're gods.
They consider them, and I suppose that David Rockefeller is probably considers himself to be a god.
And we're just nothing but beasts of the field.
Oh, well, gee.
Mm-hmm.
That's terribly sad.
According to the Talmud, that the only humans are Jews. And that, oh, I mean, this is in the Talmud. I've read it from the pages, not from what somebody said. But in other words, in fact, there's a Talmud that has been scanned in online at Carol Valentine's website.
You know, they're always screaming anti-Semitism, but it's all right for them to vilify Christians, to hate Christianity, to spew all their hate for
that's
them.
Right, that's right.
That's okay, but never say anything that's against them.
Yes.
It's a totally one-sided thing.
Well, yes, it is. It is. Anti-Semitism was a word that was made up and to be used. Today they say if you are anti-Israel, if you are an anti-Zionist, you're anti-Semitic. And I got a call from Ted Pike and that hate crime bill that he's really been on top of for a long time has passed the House of Representatives now. Once that thing gets passed, if it passes the U.S. Senate, and you know, probably because there was a tremendous outcry against it, they just hold back, and then the people, you know, get their attention on something else, and now they've brought it back up, and it's passed. I guess it passed swiftly through the House.
And
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking of this as a cartoon, but you know the way that to tell that that America has completely been taken over by the Jews. You know how you can really tell?
How?
Well, if you see the New York Harbor, the Statue of Liberty. The statue of Miss Liberty is no longer carrying the torch; she's carrying the menorah.
Ah. Well, the president lit the national menorah at Rosh Hashanah. Is that, yeah, Rosh Hashanah? But they don't have a national Christmas tree anymore, but there's a national menorah. I would say that pretty much sews it up, Alan. We've only got about 4 minutes left here.
Okay.
And maybe somebody else would like to call in. Thanks for your call tonight.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, it's 570-537-3025 if you'd like to call in. Ted Pike is going to be on with us tomorrow night, and he's called a couple of times, and while I pay very little attention anymore, I mean, it isn't that I don't pay attention, but, you know, I've been there, done that, sending just humongous blocks of time, days and days and days. When they decide to do something, they do it. But Ted will be with us tomorrow night. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ken Crane from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, and President Bush is consolidating rehabilitation services for the blind, and on the 26th of May of 2005, members of the National Federation of the Blind marched on Washington, D.C. to protest, and because we want rehabilitation, and We protested in front of Margaret Spelling's office, and we chanted, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, consolidation has got to go." And there were over 1,000 disabled people there, and you can go up on the www.voiceofthenationsblind.org and download the rally, and you have to download the rally on your desktop, you know, and then put it in your documents, and then you can play the recording of it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ken. And folks, Ken he called me last night, and then we talked today. I had several phone calls last night. We didn't really get a chance to talk. Ken is blind, was blind from birth. No, he wasn't. He was born with sight, was an incubator baby, a preemie, and had too much oxygen, but basically he has been blind since an infant. And he has a computer, and maybe you all know about this. He has a computer that literally talks to him and literally reads the pages to him. What was that program again, Ken? JAWS?
The website?
No, JAWS.
JAWS 6.0, reads me in voice, you know, the text of what's printed on the different websites that I go to.
Okay, that is so cool. We're out of our hour. Thanks for your call, Ken.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night with Ted Pike. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you, folks. And remember, look at each other, see each other, and feel the wounds. Good night.